This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back. Here to the Studio B. This week's edition of the NWA Power Recap. I'm your co-host, Scott Criscolo. Episode 18 is in the books on YouTube. It dropped back on Tuesday at 6:05, and we've given you all a few days to watch. So we'll give you the recap, what we think, and what we analyze as we get closer to the Crockett Cup. But of course, I will not do it alone. Let me bring in my compadre, the doctor, Dr. G.
Good evening. What studio am I in? Am I like the grand studio? What kind of studio?
Well, Studio B. We're in Studio B. Studio B has the Blu-rays. Studio A, which is JR Studio, because that's where we did the Place to Be podcast first. He's the one with the with all the Providence Friar signed stuff. Studio B has the movie posters and the Blu-rays. Studio C is Nate Milton's. He's got all the chimes and the Chinese food, like Venus Flytrap. And then Studio D is Matt Rotella's studio, which is nothing but SpongeBob bobbleheads and signed Mantar pictures. So, anyway.
And Bastion Booger.
And Bastion Booger, too. Yes. Doctor, it's good to have you, as always. It is time for this week's NWA Power Recap, and it was a pretty important show this week. A lot of news. About a lot of things involving, of course, the Crockett Cup, wrestlers, and new programming. I think that was the biggest news, I think, that came from this week's show. New programming coming
to
the
end. I'm excited.
I'm pumped about it, too. Let's just hop in. Enough yapping. Well, enough faceless yapping. Time to get down to the money. And speaking of money, put your money where your mouth is. And that is the official title of episode 18 of Power. We start quickly with Sean Mooney from the Interstellar Event Center, I guess you could say, because he's got like the stars in the background, to give us a preview of what this week's show holds. And then we dive in to the NWA Power Studios. I keep forgetting.
It's G, P as in Peter, B as in boy.
GPB. Wanting to say GTB, so I'm only off by a letter. The GPB Studios in Hotlanta. Joe Galli, Stu Bennett. And who strolls in on commentary to open the show? Your world tag team champions, Eli Drake and the Cowboy, James Storm. Eli Drake is attentive. Yeah. He's attentive, sitting at the table. James Storm standing behind them, doing what he does best, drinking beer. Man after my own heart.
Kind of reminds me of somebody I know.
Yeah, right? And Eli Drake reminds me of somebody I know. Very attentive and type A. Interesting. Anyway. Would look good in a white leather jacket. Our first match. Out comes the Pope with his team, the Dawsons, taking on Eddie Kingston's team, the Bouncers. And we talked about them. They came on briefly last week. The Bouncers are an import team from Ring of Honor. They're from the bar. That's exactly what Dave Marquez said. Their opponents from the bar.
I love it.
Right in my wheelhouse. The two guys weigh, if you've ever seen them, they weigh like 700 pounds, big dudes. And so we had four Hosses in the ring for a nice Hoss match right up my alley.
I'll tell you the truth, all four could move.
I have to agree. Yeah, I have to agree. Even the big dude. I'm trying to get their names down. Steve Willie knows better than I do, but solid match. I have to say, before we get to the results and stuff, Dr. G, we talked about this last week. I think one of the advantages of this partnership with ROH is, I think it will beef up NWA's tag division.
Yes, I agree.
Just a little thin, you know?
I agree because I think tag teams, you don't have a lot of true tag teams in any of the companies right now. Like now these guys, the bouncers, you know, that's their gimmick. That's what they're going to do. But you don't, you don't have those like the Rock and Roll Expresses and, you know, those type of teams. I mean, Rock and Roll Expresses in NWA, but you know what I mean? That mm-hmm. you don't have a lot of those kind of teams out there right now. So I think definitely working with Ring of Honor is going to help them.
I agree 100%. I agree with you. Absolutely 100%. Pretty good back and forth match. Eli Drake's doing commentary with Joe and Stu while Storm's drinking. Then we get a great back and forth. These guys are doing like frog splashes and these fucking 400-pound guys are flying all over the place. The bouncers get the win. Your match time, 5 minutes and 20 seconds. Eddie and Pope, that feud is brewing. And I think eventually you will see them collide. I have a feeling that they will represent these two teams in the Crockett Cup tournament. And then I think a singles feud between the Pope and Eddie Kingston could happen in late spring into the summertime. So do you agree? What do you think? Where do you think the feud, what do you think the future holds for this feud? Do you think you think I'm right on that?
Yeah, I do. It seems like they're really like we were mentioning last week, it's kind of old school because you remember when WWE, WWF, whatever you want to call it, WWF when we were kids, had the big four pay-per-views. So a feud would be, you know, drawn out over many months. And mm-hmm. I think that's what they're trying to do here in the NWA. There's no reason they don't have to really rush the storyline too much, which is what I like. And again, I reiterate every week is just something. I mean, I look forward to it every week. I haven't looked forward to watching a wrestling show where I want to make sure I watch it every week. I mean, it's great that you can watch it whenever you want, but it's been a long time. I'm really, really enjoying this. I just love the psychology, the way they're building the storylines and like we were saying, you're not going to get 5-star matches all the time. We know that, you know, but what is a 5-star, you know, like you're not going to get that every single week in any show. So why not just enjoy it for what it is? And again, you're in this small setting where it just, what would we say? I mean, and for lack of a better word, it's very raw, you know, kind of how Vince was trying to create when Raw originally began, you know, in the Manhattan Center, you know, not all the, this is really taking it raw where it's, you know, back to the studio and it's, you know, no glitz and glamour, but, you know, just true like storyline. I just love, I look forward to watching all the interview segments. It's old school. You know, some old school booking, which with new guys, I'm just loving it. And this match, this tag match, with the Dawsons and the Bouncers, I enjoyed it. I really did. For four big guys that big, I enjoyed the match for what it was. You know,
it was very good. Yeah, definitely. Yep.
I mean, the guys definitely can move, mm-hmm. and I think they're going to become, you know, household names as time moves along. And I'm just loving that they're bringing in these guys from Ring of Honor because, like you said, that's a true tag team. And, you know, it helps enhance the division a little bit.
Sure. I agree 100%. What was even better was after the match, James Storm, just a reminder, throughout the episodes of Power, the Crockett Cup itself sits behind the broadcast table of Joe Galli and Stu Bennett. And James Storm and the Bouncers proceeded to pour beer into the Crockett Cup and drink out of it.
I love it.
Yeah, that's pretty much my thing. Yep, pretty much. Eli Drake would not partake. He kept drinking his water. But, yeah, the Bouncers and James Storm were drinking beer out of the Crockett
Cup. Well, at one point, your beard was starting to look like James Storm. So
it was. I mean, it was. It's not as bad now. But, yes, it did at one point. His was a little more – mine was a little more unkempt. I looked more like a Dawson. In any event. So the Bouncers win, but I think you're seeing a beefing up of the tag division as we get closer to the Crockett Cup itself. Speaking of,
What do you think they're going to go with Eddie Kingston? You know, you try, I'm trying to see. I mean, I really, I think he has a future here, but I mean, yeah. I think they are. And again, that's one good thing about this NWA. It's not like, oh, who's trying to screw who. I mean, it seems like a very harmonious group of guys. I just was listening to an interview with Trevor Murdoch, and you know, he's really loving it. And you know, for him to come back, and you know, he's trained under Harley Race, so mm-hmm. he's got that old she school mentality. And he said that he really, really just enjoys, you know, he loves getting rallying the guys, you know, when they're doing these tapings, you know, they're doing like four shows in a day and they're there all day. You know, he's the guy that's in the back going, come on, let's go, you know, rallying the guys, and everybody's like really into it. And he goes, yeah, you could definitely see a relief when the last match is on, you know, like, oh, okay, now we're done for the day. But nobody's upset about it or anything, he was saying. They're just ready to get back at it, get back to the hotel, get some sleep, and get back at it the next day. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and again, there's no, you know, like he was saying Billy and Dave said to Trevor, just go out there and be yourself. That's all we want. Be mm-hmm. you. And that's what these guys are doing. And you could tell when they're out there that they're not being scripted. And this is what I'm loving. And bringing it back to the whole James Storm or actually we're talking about Eddie Kingston. I think he's great on the mic. I think he's better on the mic than he is in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
But how many, you know, Hulk Hogan was better on the mic than he was in the ring, right? And
sure.
Look at what I'm not comparing Eddie Kingston for the trolls out there. I'm not comparing Eddie Kingston to Hulk Hogan.
That was okay. Good.
All I'm trying to tell you is that Eddie Kingston does not need to be Kenny Omega and Okada and whoever else you guys, you know, want to, whatever else, Dave Meltzer thinks, you know, that has 6-star matches. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he has the possibility that, you know, the future of being, a star in the NWA. I could see him competing for the national title, for the TV title.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Again, I didn't know a lot about him until Steve Willey started telling me about him when he was in Chikara. But he's a tough guy. He's good New York, the New York hustle. And he relates actually.
I like that. You know me, I love that New York attitude. And especially that, you know, they're filming down south, so it kind of pisses people off. Maybe I think he'd actually make a great heel, to be honest. I mean, right now I would think he's more on the babyface side, but I think he would actually make a great heel, which I think you'll see one day.
Yeah, I agree. They're very heel heavy right now, so I like him in the babyface role. The Pope seems a lot more polished to be a good heel. He was when he was in WWE and in Impact. But I think he's a guy that could, as the year progresses, kind of grow into something special. I agree with that, definitely. We get a quick promo for the Crockett Cup, and we get the announcement on the screen and a graphic that next week we will get the announcement of where and when. So that's the first big piece of news that came from this week. Even though it may not be on Power. What am I talking about? I'll let you know shortly. We get a quick Nick Aldis promo that was taped from Sunday down in Baltimore, which is where ROH's Free Enterprise show was. More on that later. Speaking of Nick Aldis and Strictly Business, out comes Tom Latimer with his girl Camille. They've kind of established that they're going out now. And they cut a quick promo before we get to our second match, as he dresses down his opponent, Tim Storm. So Tim Storm and Tom Latimer is our second match of the show. Pretty solid. A lot of posturing, a lot of jaw jacking. Of course, Tim Storm embroiled in this bitter feud with Strictly Business. So there was a lot of talk and a lot of, you know, who's dick's bigger kind of thing. And they, you know, they hit each other hard. There was a lot of distractions, you know, from the Mama Storm British guy who was kind of lingering around the curtain. And Latimer hits a DDT and gets the win at 5:33. I was kind of surprised. I did not think
I was too. And again, I think that's another thing with this NWA is you know how like a lot of times you get like, oh yeah, you kind of know by the way it's going to go. This guy's going to win, you know. When you're watching some of the other shows, and honestly, I mean, you know, occasionally you get a little squash match in there, but for the most part, when these guys are, you know, two main event guys are going against each other, you don't know who's going to win. To me, I would have said Tim Storm was going to win. But I think they're building at something with this fake Mama Storm coming out there. And you see, like, you know, like, why hasn't he hit the fake, you know, like, it's like a psychological game that's going on there. I'm not really totally sure where they're going with the story there, which is kind of good because it keeps you guessing. I mean, do you have any guesses? You see how, like, he went up, like, you know, there's a couple times that Tim Storm could have hit him and he didn't. So what is it?
Yeah, I don't know who it is. I'm not sure who it is. It'll probably be somebody that we don't know, or it's some scrub. But he has a British accent, we know that for sure. So,
no, but
James Storm doesn't
hit
him.
I'm not sure where they're going with it in terms of, like, you know, is he, you know, really seeing his mom in this guy, and he's just, you know, now he's down on himself because, you know, he's not able to make Mama Storm proud. I'm just grasping here. I'm just trying to guess.
Yeah. Maybe no, I don't either. But and he wouldn't hit him.
Overthinking it.
He knows it's not his mom, and he won't hit him. So I'm kind of perplexed by that too. And Tim Storm just walked off. So
well,
not sure where that is either.
As you can see, they're drawing this out. So maybe Tim Storm's going to go on a little bit of a losing streak.
Mm.
And to try to gain, you know, that confidence back, something's going to happen, and right, you know, to get back in the title picture again. But
totally,
I don't know, whatever it is, I'm enjoying it. So
I am too. No, it's definitely long form. We get a quick clip from the ROH Free Enterprise show. Nothing crazy, just like the entrance ramp and shot of the crowd. Then out comes the aforementioned gentleman you mentioned earlier. Trevor Murdoch comes out. First of all, before he comes out, we get a clip from last week at the draw that he had with Shuta Stevens for the national championship. Murdoch comes out, says that Stevens is a coward. He keeps hiding and running away. Even the night that he won the title at Into the Fire, he was hiding behind the Christmas tree. So he wants a rematch. He thought last week was bullshit. He wants a rematch. Well, out comes the question mark, complete in his little yellow tracksuit. And he starts, before anything else, he starts singing the Mongrovian national anthem. He actually sounds better than both Nikolai Volkoff and Boris Zhukov, so who knows. After he finishes it, he looks at Trevor Murdoch. He goes, "You, me."
Sounds like you when you're hungry.
Then he points, I know, right? Or I want a beer. And then points to the ring and goes, "Karate." So I don't know if that means next week or in 2 weeks. What do I mean by that? I'll get to that in a minute. We may get a Trevor Murdoch question mark match. Of course, the two wrestled in the TV tournament at Hard Times. So we'll see what happens there. Okay, 2 minute update with Sean Mooney, which is now becoming a pretty important segment of the show because that's where all the hot news is going down there, Dr. G.
School, I love it.
First off, before we get to that though, you talked about Trevor Murdoch, so we won't go that far on that. Do you think the question mark storyline, the question mark character, has run its course yet?
No. I mean, it definitely doesn't have the same excitement as in the beginning. But no, I don't think so. I think what they're trying to do is, I think everybody thought automatically question mark was going to turn on Aaron Stevens right away. And again, they had their little, you could see that maybe that something was going to happen there. Now it's kind of like evening out, and he's on Aaron Stevens' side, and he's going to be in some feuds, and then maybe you'll start seeing it again. I mean, listen, we know how wrestling goes, you know, mm-hmm. You predict storyline after a while. Eventually question mark's going to, you know, there's going to be, he's going to have enough of Aaron Stevens, and he's going to turn face.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to happen over a period of time. Maybe something happens at the Crockett Cup where some tension happens. Maybe they're, you know, maybe they're in a tag team together and something happens.
I think the energy level is there, but I think people have settled into the fact he's staying a heel. I think people were getting excited because they thought that after Stevens left him out, left him high and dry at Hard Times when Stevens fought Scott Steiner. And he didn't, you know, we thought that that was going to be the moment the question mark would turn. Instead, he's kind of settled back into the heel mentor role. And the fans are like, all right, that's cool.
As you see, too, he came out there to Trevor Murdoch by himself.
Right.
So he didn't have, you know, because usually he would come out with Aaron Stevens and, you know, like, you know, Aaron, he would be behind Aaron Stevens and they would cheer for him and not for Aaron Stevens. And,
right,
you know, so you're not seeing that. So he was able to kind of get out there on his own. And again, and I know I just seem like I sound like a shill, and I don't really care if people think that or not, because I love this. And listen, if I'm not saying everything here is 100% perfect, but I'm just enjoying for what is. But I just really, really like the fact that it's unpredictable. How many times have you and I spoke off air here that and we think something's going to happen? I mean, you thought Tim Storm was going to win the TV title.
I did. Yes, I did. Yep, I did.
And you went because you went with your instincts of being a wrestling fan and the way we're trained as being wrestling fans in the United States, you know, over the, you know, the last, you know, 25, 30 years. Mm-hmm. And you were totally wrong.
Yeah, I was.
So it was crazy. Not in a mean way. Not in a way.
A babyface did win. I was right that a babyface won. I just picked the wrong babyface.
Ricky Starks would have been the last person I would have picked.
I know.
So, but that's what I like. It's so unpredictable.
Yeah. Yep. I agree 100%. And I think you'll see the Aaron Stevens question mark Trevor Murdoch thing stretch out as time moves on. So we get to the 2-minute update. And the first big update, obviously, we finally get something from ROH Free Enterprise, which, of course, was the tag match between Marty Scurll and PCO, the ROH champion from Villain Enterprises, and then Nick Aldis and Roosh, the former champion who PCO beat at Final Battle back in December. But after the match, Marty Scurll finally gave Nick Aldis his answer. He said, "I will counter you." He said that Nick Aldis says that that belt costs him $250,000 of net worth. So Aldis said, "All right, then. If I beat you at the Crockett Cup, I will be the next world's heavyweight champion. If you win, I will not challenge you again, and I will give you a check for $500,000. Okay. Nick Aldis, shortly thereafter, was sitting in the stairwell in Baltimore, and he thinks about it and he says, "Wow, you know what? Yeah, you countered me." So he accepted it. So we are set. The main event for the Crockett Cup is set. Nick Aldis will defend the world's heavyweight championship against Marty Scurll. And if Scurll loses, he has to cut Aldis a check for $500,000. So the fans will not be getting a refund.
Yeah, I knew they had to do something there, but
yeah,
I like the stipulation.
I do too. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. Obviously, you know, all I have to do is give him a check. It's not like, you know, it's not like it's real money.
Now, a question for you. With Ring of Honor, we know how Ring of Honor has been struggling. I would say what in the recent last year, maybe year and a half.
Year, 2 years. Yeah. Yep.
What do you think is, how do you think having the NWA World Champion, especially that they have their own champion, do you think that hurts them, helps them? Do you think this partnership? I think the partnership helps the NWA. What do you feel like that Ring of Honor is getting from it?
Exposure. They're getting exposure. I don't think they're getting a cash inflow flux. I don't think that's the case. I mean, they're owned by Sinclair. They're owned by a TV dealer, a TV network. I think they're getting a share of talent. I think that's a big deal for both sides. You have the NWA champion and you have the ROH champion. I don't think there's any. It's so different than Naito being the New Japan champion or Tessa being the women's the world champion in Impact, or Jericho in AEW, or either Brock or the Fiend in WWE. They're the belt like any other, I guess. I don't think there's any issues there. Look, the territories worked together for a long time back in the day.
I'm just saying, what do you think? You know, because you know, Ring of Honor, you know, was kind of been struggling.
In terms of roster, I think this helps the NWA more. In terms of ROH gains exposure, because what's funny, I just find it hilarious, and I've talked about this with Steve and Nate on Main Event a lot. I find it hilarious that Ring of Honor is owned by a TV group, and you can never find them on TV anywhere, particularly here in the Northeast. Connecticut, Rhode Island, JR used to say that he used to be able to watch it. He can't anymore. Massachusetts, even New York, you can't find it. So how the hell are you owned by a TV group and you're not on TV anywhere? It's nonsense. So ROH gets some extra exposure. They do have a YouTube channel, but I think it's a good talent sharing thing. I mean, Nick Aldis is a draw as world's champion. So adding him to the main event to Free Enterprise on Sunday is a good thing. Him showing up at the shows to cross promote their feuds, I think is perfect. I got no problem with it. No problem with it at all. And I think it's good for both of them. I don't think PCO is devalued as ROH champion just because Aldis has the world's title. I don't think that. I think the fans are smart enough at this point that you can kind of compartmentalize between the different promotions that you don't have to pick one or the other. You know what I mean? And PCO's actually been a pretty decent champion in ROH. So
yeah, I think the NWA is probably gaining a little bit more from this relationship, but listen, they got a lot of YouTube followers for this show, NWA, and just showing a little bit of Ring of Honor, maybe, you know, may get some fans that are like, oh, I never really watched that before, but now I'm seeing some of the guys I like on NWA on Ring of Honor, maybe I'll, you know, get their pay-per-view, or if they could find it somewhere on a station and watch it. I think, some of these smaller companies have to work together because there's a lot of, AEW now being a big company kind of competing with the WWE. Mm-hmm. When I say competing with the WWE, I mean to a lesser extent. Obviously, WWE is the king of the yard, or whatever you want to call it. I don't know. I think that having two companies like this working together, I mean, NWA is still trying to find its way. And, you know, you and I talk a lot about, you know, they need to do shows a little bit more. They can't just wait around a pay-per-view. And, you know, I agree. I think, remember I was saying, well, maybe they need to start going to a bigger place every once in a while. Well, now they're going to do that for Crockett Cup. So I think, I think I do like the fact that I'm seeing two of the smaller organizations working together and, you know, trying to get a little bit of a footprint and just be an alternative to
mm-hmm.
the big two, I guess we can call it at this point.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think it's a good partnership, and I think it helps both of them with the Crockett Cup. I think it adds exposure, and I think they'll get some good influx of revenue. I'm sure there's some kind of split that ROH and NWA are doing. So, NWA is also expanding their merch too, which doesn't hurt, which ROH has no problem with. They got plenty of merch. So they still sell plenty of DVDs and Blu-rays and t-shirts and stuff. So they're fine. NWA needs to kind of work on that a little bit. Although they're adding more. They have a new Aaron Stevens t-shirt, and they also have an eBay auctions page. I think right now they're auctioning off a signed turnbuckle pad from Hard Times, signed by the whole roster. That's kind of cool. I don't know how much it is. I got to look. I'm sure it's probably a few hundred bucks, but that's pretty cool. So anyway, back to Mooney. So the main event is set for the Crockett Cup. It will be Nick Aldis versus Marty Scurll for the world title. And if Marty loses, he has to cut a check for $500,000 to Aldis. So it's kind of like Flair and Dusty at Starrcade 84, the $1 million challenge kind of thing, even though they're both kind of pseudo fake. Well, they're both faces, I guess. This is different, but. But now the big news that has come out of NWA and came out of Mooney this week. We already knew that a show was debuting down the line that was called Circle Squared, which was kind of like NWA's version of Tough Enough, where new fresh talent will try to cut their teeth in the business and try and get into the business. And Mooney will be hosting. I don't know, Sean Mooney will be hosting that show. And that show debuts this coming Tuesday at 6:05 on YouTube. And You're wondering, it is? I'm like, yes, it is. Power is taking the week off, which means, Dr. G, in the immortal words of Shawn Michaels to Sid the night after WrestleMania 11, I'm giving you the night off. So Dr. G and I
know
that,
I know everybody's going to miss us.
I know. So there will be no Power recap next week on PlaceBNation.com because there's no Power. So we'll be back the following Saturday, which is the 29th. We'll be back on the 29th with the next Power after this one. There will be no Power episode next week because there's no Power. But there will be an episode of Circle Square, the debut episode, and Sean Mooney will be hosting. And they also announced, Dr. G, two new shows that will be happening on the NWA YouTube channel. The first one is a roundtable show called Power Surge. They like the word power. Power Surge. It's going to be roundtable. I'm thinking back to like the 91, 92 like primetime wrestlings where like Vince in his cool wind jackets sat with like Perfect and Mr. Perfect and Bobby and Piper or whatever. Like I'm kind of thinking that like Stu, I can see Stu and Galley and you know, maybe a heel, like, and, you know, they'll rotate heels and faces on the show. Like I could see that being a lot of fun, and maybe they'll show some matches from other house shows or something. Like, what do you think? I think it's a good thing for two reasons. Number one, it's another show. And number two, I think it gives a chance for some of the other personalities to kind of show their chops, you know, in terms of cutting promos and putting things over. So I think it's huge. I think it's huge. And more show, and it's giving, and NWA needs more shows. They will also be premiering a season ending show. I don't know if this is going to like replace pay-per-view, not replace, but like fit into pay-per-view slots. They don't have to do them all the time, but it's going to be called Superpower. And it's going to be the season ending episodes of Power. How many seasons are there? Yikes. So that's it. So that's the big news from Sean Mooney this week in the 2-minute update. The Nick Aldis, Marty Scurll stipulation has been adjusted. Now, if Marty loses the title match at the Crockett Cup, he must cut a check to Nick Aldis for $500,000. And three shows debuting in NWA on the YouTube channel. The first one is Circle Squared, which we had already known about. We just didn't know when it was starting. It's starting this week, 6:05 Tuesday. It is replacing Power this week. There'll be a new roundtable show called Power Surge, and there will be a new show. There'll be a season-ending show every season called Superpower. So lots of power, lots of power, lots of R's. So very excited. That was very excited.
Well, it's good branding. That's yep. The name of their flagship show. So I might agree. As well use it.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. We get a commercial, which I thought was pretty funny. A commercial for Nikita Koloff, who was talking American. I guess we all know that, you know, he's not really Russian. But he was promoting himself as a motivational speaker. You can go to his website, Koloff for Christ at gmail.com. If you want him, you know, as a motivational speaker at an event or something. That's kind of cool. Imagine Nikita Koloff walking into our community breakfast. It'd be pretty funny.
He's slimmed down compared to.
Yeah, well, he's older. He could still give Anthony the Russian sickle. Anyway, let us go to our next match. The television championship is on the line. Number two for Ricky Starks. He already beat Zicky Dice, and this week he takes on Matt Cross. Again, just to recap the whole TV title situation, Ricky Starks is in the midst of the Lucky Seven. What that means is if he can successfully retain the TV title for seven straight matches, he will automatically get a title shot at Sweet Charlotte at the world title. Now, again, just to recap, that doesn't necessarily mean he has to win. If he either has to win or survive the 6:05 time limit, that counts. So if he can do that seven straight times, he gets a world title shot against Sweet Charlotte.
You like those old 80s steps?
Love it. I think that's awesome. And it makes the matches important too. You know what I mean?
It does.
They're
treating the NWA title like it was in the 80s, like it was only, you know, NWA TV title. Sorry, I meant to say TV title. The NWA TV title is always defended on the television show.
Right.
So it's going to always, it should always be defended every single week.
Mm-hmm. Now, if he gets to seven, I'm going to assume that it'll be after the Crockett Cup. So he could conceivably face versus face, he could face Marty Scurll if Marty's a champion. So I don't know if he'll get to all seven matches if he gets that far, by the way. Of course, he could very well lose before then. Who knows? Anyway, he wrestles Matt Cross here. Good match, but it was different because I was expecting flipping and flopping immediately, but they were grinding a little bit. They were hitting some strikes. They were working some mat work. I kind of enjoyed the alternative approach that they took to the match.
Well, they took the old school approach, which right. is the way you know build up to the fast pace. And you know what? I noticed like people weren't chanting boring or anything like that. I think people were enjoying it because again, maybe it's just something, not that it's a little different, but it's different for these times. So yeah, you expect it. And I think, was it Bennett that says he thought, or Galley, I forget, they said, I expected it to be much more fast paced at first. They even said it.
Which I thought was pretty funny, actually. It picks up at the end, and as great a match as, and it's a great match, and it does exhaust the full 6 minutes and 5 seconds. So Ricky Starks is now 2 for 2. He's got 5 left. Now, again, he either wins outright or survives the 6:05, and that counts. So he's 2 down and 5 to go, and he could get a world's heavyweight title shot if he can reach the lucky number 7. So. But before we get out of this segment, out comes your favorite guy, the outlandish Zicky Dice. And Zicky's not going away. Ricky Starks beat him a couple weeks ago for lucky win number 1.
I like his gimmick, though. I think he's got the – they need some good heels. They need some more good heels.
They need some fun heels. They need fun heels, too, not just,
fun little chicken shit
heels. Grumpy, serious heels. They need funny shitbag heels, too. And I think Zicky Dice is that. So he cuts a promo on Ricky Starks that he's a wimp and pussy and et cetera. So we get out of that segment, and we get a clip from last week's women's title match where Thunder Rosa successfully defended against Allison Kay. And then we saw the tension between Thunder Rosa, Marty Bell, and Melina, because Thunder Rosa looking at them like, I didn't ask you guys to come out. I had this. I got this. And she left.
This is another good storyline.
Yes, it is. So out comes Marty Bell. She puts over Melina as her mentor. She's done everything for me. Allison Kay doesn't care about anybody. She doesn't care about any of you, pointing to the fans. She only cares about herself, yada, yada, yada. She's not a real friend. Well, Allison Kay comes out and gets in Marty Bell's face and says, I don't know what your problem is, but you're being brainwashed. You're just a puppet. And Melina's the puppet master. And she'll turn on you as quickly as she'll turn on probably Thunder Rosa or turn like she turned on me, etc. And Marty Bell told her to go pound sand. So that dynamic continues. I'm not the biggest in-ring fan of Allison Kay, but I thought she cut a pretty good promo. I thought that was a good promo. I think Marty Bell is coming off as a good heel who is probably being manipulated, but she won't admit it.
Right.
At least for the moment. So I think that's pretty good. In concert with that, Melina comes out and she's in our next match. She takes on Tasha Steelz. She's that tough little ombra. The women's division, I think, is getting better. It's growing. It's not WWE level, but I think it's better than AEW, to be honest. And Melina's a good bullying heel, experienced. She wins the match in 4:44, and then she pretty much announces, without any authority from anybody, that next week on Power, or on the next episode of Power, she said next week, but obviously it's 2 weeks, she is challenging Thunder Rosa for the Women's World Championship. Dave Marquez goes, and who told you that? She said, I did. So we don't know if this is legit or not, or if this is actually going to happen. She said next week, but of course she means 2 weeks. Would you turn Thunder Rosa face already, though? I would still let it wait out a little bit, you know?
Yeah, but Thunder Rosa definitely will be a great face for that women's division, though. Mm-hmm. The fans seem to barely be into her, even when she was heel. Right. She got a lot of applause. So, I know it should be interesting to see how it plays out in a couple of weeks. Mm. Swerve us.
Yeah, they may swerve us wrong. Now we get to our main event. Nice tag match. Two members of Strictly Business, our world's heavyweight champion, Nick Aldis, and the other half of Wildcard, Royce Isaacs, taking on the Rock and Roll Express. Now, meanwhile, coming down the ramp, Sal Rinauro with Mae Valentine, of course, Royce yep. Isaacs' main squeeze. But they're just friends, and Sal Rinauro, because Sal Rinauro obviously can't wrestle, he's got his arm in a sling. Just friends, and Royce, of course, Royce Isaacs is pissed, but Mae Valentine says, just friends.
And distracted.
Yep, he's distracted. And it actually pissed Aldis off. Aldis kept telling him, would you get your head in this match, please? Stop worrying about them. Just get your head in the match here. I was fully, and once again, prove me wrong again. I was fully expecting Rock and Roll Express to win this match, but Royce Isaacs puts his feet on the ropes, Greg Valentine style, rolls up Ricky Morton, and the heels get the win. Your match time, 7 minutes and 20 seconds. Well, I'm stunned again. But you know what? It makes sense. Just like with Tim Storm, Rock and Roll Express, they had their little nostalgia run with the world titles. It's time to start putting people over now.
Yeah, they're going to put people over. And they're still going to, they may not look great because obviously they're in their 50s, 60s. But they could still move in the ring pretty well. I mean, not like they did when they were, 30 years ago. But it's a nice little nostalgia. And the fans were chanting rock and roll.
Yes, they were. Yep, absolutely. Yep. No, I agree with you 100%. Yeah. And then, of course, Royce Isaacs yelling at Sal Rinauro and kind of getting on Mae Valentine's case. And then we end with a little vignette to kind of put a bow on the scenario involving Marty Scurll and, of course, Nick Aldis. And we're off the air. A nice, tight, another slightly longer show. I think this one was an hour and 10 minutes, I think. So it seems like ever since Hard Times, the power shows have been longer than they had been. For the most part, the shows have been averaging between 45 and 55 minutes. The last, I think, four episodes of Power, we've gone over an hour.
It was an hour and 2 minutes or something, I think I saw when I was watching it.
Yeah, something like that. But it's been over an hour. It was an hour and two, hour and six, something like that. But every episode of Power since Hard Times has been over an hour. Where before that, maybe one would be an hour. One was 90 minutes. But for the most part, they had averaged between 45 and 55 minutes. So they're getting a little meatier. So we go off the air. Great episode, I think. Again, ton of news, and pretty soon we will finally get the announcement of where and when the Crockett Cup will be, and new programming is coming. Very exciting episode, Doctor. And
it was. Your pulse is a little. You've got your hand on the pulse a little bit of wrestling fandom more than I do, admittedly. What are you hearing out there about the NWA? I mean, are we just two shills that are just like
no, not at all,
living in the past? Or
I mean, no, not at all.
I'm loving it. I really
no, am. Not at all, not at all. I see the pulse on Twitter. People are talking about the NWA. They're tagging people like Aldis. They're tagging Dave Lagana big time. The National Wrestling Alliance has multiple Facebook groups. One is like NWA. I think one's NWA fans. Of course, there's the official Facebook page, group. No, there's definitely a buzz. Look, right now the darlings are still AEW. They're getting the buzz because their snowflake fans think that they're the only ones in the world and everybody else sucks. And hey, that's fine. To be that closed minded, it's kind of sad. But there's fans like us who will watch everything. And I still watch WWE. I love WWE. I do watch Dynamite. The other day I actually threw on, A New Beginning, the New Japan show. I've been enjoying watching all sorts of different stuff. But I love NWA because it's basic. It's simple, simple wrestling, simple storylines, no frills, no bullshit, no nonsense, just good, straight wrestling, good, straight storylines. I think people are liking the cleanliness of it, the cleanness of it.
Right now you're not hearing drama backstage.
No, you're not hearing any bitching and moaning, and no, not at all, not at all.
They're letting these guys be themselves. I mean, the veterans that are there are, they know what to do, and they're being able to. I mean, listen, any of these guys who work for the bigger companies, were, very restricted at times and stuff like that. And they're just, you know, just enjoying this. Now, listen, some of these guys might get signed by the two big companies, you know, based on what they're doing. But, and listen, they got to feed their families. They got to, you know, they have a chance to make a big contract. You can't fault them for it. Mm-hmm. But I think some of these guys, like a Trevor Murdoch, who, you know, veteran that's come back, Eli Drake, who's worked, you know, for Impact, I think they're enjoying the fact that it's kind of grassroots again, going back to the basics and having fun again.
Right.
And you could tell these guys really are having fun because it comes out in the way they're portraying themselves on air. And I'm just, I'm like I said, it's just dirty and gritty. And like I said, it's a mixture. I know I keep saying the old school stuff, but there is some of the new way of thinking or the new kind of wrestling mixed in with the old school. And I like it.
Yep.
And I love this, the psychology and the storylines and the way they're just, you know, building up to everything, you know, kind of like when we were kids, you know, like, you know, it makes you, you know, I know they aren't really doing house shows or anything like that now, but it makes me want, I wish they would, you know, we're having a show up here in the Northeast that we could go sing.
Well, I mean, they go to Northeast Wrestling a lot. That's the group out in the Waterbury area on the left side of the state. They go to other places. They go to that that NWA Hollywood or whatever that Dave Marquez runs. I know they go there a lot. And now with ROH, they're kind of using ROH. That's why I'm still very curious as to where the Crockett Cup will be. And that announcement will be next week, probably on Circle Squared. So we'll bring it to you. We'll talk about it the following week on the next episode of the next NWA Power Recap.
Do you think they're
going
to go to a place like that has, you know, holds maybe 1,000 or 2,000 people, or you think they're going to go?
They're not going to go someplace big. They're not going to go to like an MSG size. Not MSG. I'm not saying MSG specifically. I'm talking about, they're not going to go to a 20,000 seat place. I can see them going to like a size like the NWO Arena, the ECW Arena, the ECW Arena that seats a couple thousand. Listen, I could see them going to a place the size of, say, Harbor Yard of Webster Bank Arena here in Bridgeport. That seats about 8,000. I could see them filling that place up, or at least maybe tarping off the top.
Do you
and maybe
think they have 5,000? Do you think they have the fan base, you know, to fill a place like even just say like 5,000 people? You think they could do that right now?
Yes, I think they can. With the help of ROH, I think so. Sure, I think so. But we'll see. We'll see. I don't know
how
big that place
now.
I don't know where that place in Concord was a year ago that last year's Crockett Cup was at. I don't remember, but time will tell. We'll have to see. So there you go. There is this week's episode of NWA Power, episode number 18. Dr. G, always a pleasure. Just to let everyone know, once again, we are taking next week off because there is no Power next week. They'll be debuting Circle Squared at 6:05 on Tuesday. On the YouTube, on the NWA YouTube channel. So we're going to watch it, and then we'll talk about it the following week. Sean Mooney will host. It's, again, it's kind of their version of Tough Enough, or NXT, if you will, old school NXT, where fresh faces try to get their feet in the business. So check it out. It's on the same slot as Power is this week, 6:05 on.
And I'd love to hear from everyone out there, too.
Definitely follow me on Twitter, at PTB Podfather. We post the shows both on Place B Nation, on the Place B Nation Facebook feed, a Facebook group, and a Facebook page, and on Twitter. So follow us and comment. Let us know how you think. We've gotten some downloads first couple episodes. Thank you for your support and keep it up.
Definitely.
So, but we are going to take a week off because we do every single NWA show. We may hang each other. Maybe we'll do some more car casts. I'll just roll the phone while we're in the car. Then you'll have to hear me trying to bob and weave traffic. And as he tells you, I'm not a very patient driver. So, we will take the week off. We will be back. You'll see our next episode of Power, the Power Recap, on Saturday morning, February 29th, around 9:00. You'll see it hit the wrestling feed and, placementnation.com. So you'll check wherever you, listen to podcasts, whether it's Spotify, Apple Music, or Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher, and all the other iTunes, and all the other places where you listen to pods. Join us for the next one 2 weeks from Saturday, or a week from Saturday, I guess. More to come. Plenty more to come. Thanks for listening. It's been a pleasure. I'm Scott Criscola. He's the doctor. you're not.
Ciao.